Thank you, Joy. Good evening, everyone. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 38 from the Soft Spiral Gospel Hymn Book. Number 38. Let's all stand together.
Come, every sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all who hear your voice below, the debt of love to Christ you owe. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived the perfect man and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode and reigns on high, our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee.
Please be seated.
We have no idea how much we owe our Lord for his blessings toward us. I was reminded as we were singing that hymn of the passage we looked at Sunday. What should I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And it's still true that our Lord is most honored when his people gather together for worship and when they lift Christ up and make him well, make him to be everything for their lives and for their salvation. That's what I hope the Lord will enable us to do tonight. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And we'll begin reading at verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. And we know who that gate is, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ is all our righteousness, and he said that he's the gate into the sheepfold, and no man can enter in except for that one gate. So here's our prayer. Lord, open to us the gate of righteousness. Enable us to find safe pasture with your sheep. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And the Lord Jesus Christ was bound to the horns of the altar when he laid his life down on Calvary's cross. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is forever. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thy holy presence, knowing that apart from thy dear Son, his finished work of redemption and putting away the sins of your people, and him being all our righteousness, we have no right to enter into your presence. But Father, what great hope we have in knowing that you are pleased with him, and being pleased with him, you're pleased with all that are in him. We ask, Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven, that you would visit with us tonight. Lord, only you can change our hearts, and only you can reveal to us the glory of your Son. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do that work of grace for us. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. We pray that you would increase our faith. We pray that you would grow us in your grace. We pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, enable us to set our affections on things above. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Number 318 in the hardback hymnal, number 318. And let's stand together once again.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I want to try to bring a message tonight on a verse of Scripture that you've probably heard quoted at funerals. And it certainly relates to the child of God at the time of their departure from this world. But the death of God's saints is so much broader than just their physical departing of their earthly body. The verse I'm referring to can be found in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, believers often don't feel comfortable referring to themselves as saints because of the way the world interprets that word. But that's what the Scripture refers to us as. The word saint means a separated one. It is the same word for holy. And those that are found in Christ have been separated to God, and they are, by virtue of their union with Him, they are holy. They are holy. I met a woman recently, and immediately she introduced herself to me as a witch, and thought she would intimidate me, and I said, well, I'm a saint. And I said, I'm an angel too, and I preach right there in that building. Why don't you come on over and hear me sometime? God's people are saints. They have been set apart. The Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Complete in Him. So this passage of Scripture is referring to all of God's people. When we read the epistles that are written to the churches, the epistles are addressed to a particular congregation and to all the saints everywhere who gather together. And so the Lord addresses His word to His people, and He has made them to be separate. He's called them out, and He's made them separate, and He's imputed to them the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's made them in union with Him. We saw that Sunday from 1 John chapter 4, where the Scripture says we have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is, so are we in this world. So this promise and this statement that the Lord is making is for all of God's people. Now, the word precious here means to be priceless. We use that word in the South to speak of our children when they're cute. But what we really mean by that is that you can't put a price on their head. They are precious to us. They are a rare commodity. The first place we have this word used in the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when the Lord raises up young Samuel, and Eli is the priest at the time, and the scripture says the word of the Lord was precious, for in those days there was no open vision. God wasn't speaking. And so the word, when God did speak through Samuel, it was precious, it was rare, it was priceless. And we refer to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ as that precious stone, that priceless stone, that pearl of great price that all is sold for in order to attain. I was thinking there's different people in the world when it comes to their view of Christ. Some of them will consider him to be the stone that was rejected by the builder. It'd become the head of the corner. It's a stumbling stone. It's just a rock out there in the yard of no value. And then some people act as if the Lord Jesus Christ is semi-precious, you know, kind of like an amethyst. You know, he's got a little value to him, but he's not of all value. He's not of great price. And then how many God's people see the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've already said, as that pearl of great price, that rare commodity, that necessity that they have, that they cannot live without. To them, he is precious. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of tasting of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a newborn babe craving after the sincere milk of his word, whereby he is pleased to reveal himself. And then in verse 4 it says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Precious. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is to his saints. Saints are not those who have been declared by the church to have some higher standing of holiness. Saints are all of God's people, and to all of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Scripture speaks of his precious blood, his exceeding great and precious promises. The scripture speaks of our faith as a precious faith, more precious than gold. These are the things that are of great value to God and to his people. Turn with me one more passage in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus saith, verse 1, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the fire kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. These are the things that are priceless. What God calls precious, no one can put a price on. And now he tells us in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we know from the very beginning of the book of Genesis that death is the penalty for sin. The Lord said, in the day in which you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And when they ate of that tree, they were separated from God. Now, it was some time later before they physically died, but they died spiritually in that they suffered separation from God. The Scriptures makes it clear that the wages of sin is death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no putting away of sin without the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this matter of death is the means to life. Adam and Eve had to be put out of the garden, and the garden had to be guarded in order for them to physically die so that they could experience spiritual reunion and life with God. And so this matter of death comes as a result of sin, and it is the means to life. Now, the second thing I want to say is that God has always seen his people in Christ. For this reason, if for no other reason, for this reason, the immutability of our God. I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Our God's never had a new thought. He's never had a plan B. He's never asked anyone a question. He's never learned anything. He's been complete in and of himself. That's what I am tells us about our God. He is the self-existent one. He is fully complete within himself. He's not dependent upon anything or anybody. He's not like us in that regard. And so God's people have always been seen by God in Christ. Always. I've loved you with an everlasting love. How could God love us with an everlasting love unless he had viewed us in Christ from eternity past? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. Precious. Just trying to define some of the words in this verse. What does it mean to be precious? It means to be priceless. It means to be of great value to God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, the death of his people. Isaiah chapter 66, look with me at verse 22. For as the heavens, as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now that's a promise that the Father has given to his Son. And oftentimes in the Scriptures, the Lord refers to his people as his seed. Just as we, according to the flesh, are the seed of Adam, we, according to the Spirit, are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as we physically were in the loins of Adam, and we were every one of us were right there, so spiritually we were put as the seed of Christ in his heart from eternity past. So knowing that death is not only the penalty of sin, but death is the means of life, and God has always seen his people in Christ, the question that I want to ask is, when did God's saints die? When did they die? Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. There's another way we could ask that question. Another way we could ask that question, and it has the same answer. When are God's people saved? And the answer to that question is fivefold. We're saved in the covenant of grace from the foundation of the world. We're saved when Christ bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross, bearing our sins and satisfying God's divine justice 2,000 years ago. We're saved when the Spirit of God is pleased to open the eyes of our understanding and make us willing in the day of his power and give us faith in Christ, enabling us to hear the gospel for the first time. And as we just read in Peter, to whom coming, we are being saved every day as God renews our faith day by day and brings us to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the appointed hour, the time that God has appointed for each one of his children, they will draw their last breath, and their corruptible be made incorruptible, and their mortal be made immortal, and they'll be saved when they see him as he is and be made like him. So salvation in the scriptures is a, in terms of when it happens, it happens in five different senses, doesn't it? Same thing with the death of God's saints. Same thing with the death of his saints. When did God's people die? This is precious in his sight. Revelation chapter 18 refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, if God's people have always been in Christ, then when the Lord Jesus Christ entered into that covenant promise with the Father and committed himself to lay down his life for his sheep, all those who were in him were there in that as his seed in that covenant promise. And it was precious in the eyes of the Lord. When God, in his divine purpose and for his own glory, slew his son in the covenant of grace. And it was precious in his sight. That's why our life in Christ is called everlasting life or eternal life. That means it never had a beginning. So the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace as the Lamb slain according to the purpose of God was necessary for us to have the life of God. And it was precious in his sight. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's not just a verse to be recited at a funeral. It's the gospel. It is the gospel. This is the hope that we have, that we were, by God's divine purpose and decree, in Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now that's not just referring to where we are now in the resurrected Christ, but it's where we've always been. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. You would say, well, why would God choose some and not others? Well, there's your answer right there. So it's that simple. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see that in the next verse? That's the only answer we have. The only answer we have. God predestinated and foreordained the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ in Christ, who is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, We have life in Christ that's eternal. Eternal, everlasting. That means it's not determined by something we do or decision that we make or prayer that we pray or work that we work. And it can't be lost by a sin that we commit. It's eternal. Precious in the eyes of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. So they died in Christ and were risen again in Christ. It was precious in the sight of the Lord when the Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man, bearing all the sins of all of God's people in his body upon that tree, suffered the full wrath and justice of God, and bowed his mighty head and said, "It is finished." It pleased the Father to bruise him, and God saw the travail of his soul, and God was satisfied. It was precious in the sight of the Lord when the Lord Jesus Christ died. Yes, he died in our stead, but we died in him. We died in him. Paul makes that clear in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he says, I know I quote this verse a lot, but it's so glorious. It's so glorious. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me and died for me. We died in Christ. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The seed died right along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, the Father, hath put him, the Son, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God made the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ the offering, the death offering, the blood sacrifice for sin. He shall see his seed. The Father shall see the seed of the Son. Who's that? It's his church. It's his church. It's never been separated from him. Always been in him. In the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, they were in Christ. On Calvary's cross, they were in Christ. And the Father shall see his seed, and the Father shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Father shall prosper in the Son's hand. He shall see, the Father shall see the travail of the Son's soul, and the Father shall be satisfied. Precious in the sight of the Lord was the death of his saints. Let me show you one more verse. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Aren't you glad to have God's word as a source of authority to prove all these things? This is not a man's opinion. It's not church doctrine. This is the gospel. This is God's word. Romans chapter 6. At verse 3, know you not? And that's rhetorical. But we do know. We know whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he is able. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You remember Sunday when the Lord said to Peter and John, James and John, he said, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? He's talking about that baptism of fire that we just read about in Isaiah chapter 53. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? They said, oh yes, Lord. They didn't know. He said, indeed, indeed, you shall be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with. God saw his seed, and God prolonged his days. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We died in the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We died in Christ on Calvary's cross. Look, verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We do. We have life. Why? Because we've been put to death and we've been raised again. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Thirdly, it is precious in the sight of the Lord when God's elect are brought irresistibly by the Spirit of God to die to their own righteousness and be made alive in Christ. It's called regeneration. It's called the new birth. It's called being born again. And that's precious in the sight of the Lord when he brings each one of us. Prior to that, we're trusting in something that we've done or something we've abstained from for the hope of our acceptance before God. Paul said, before the law came, I was alive. I thought everything was good. But when the law came, sin revived, and I died. I died. He died to what? He died to his righteousness. Before that, he was trusting in the fact that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Concerning the law, he was blameless before men. He was trusting in all those things, wasn't he? And he had to die to that when God knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus died. And God raised Paul the apostle from the grave. Right there, he died to all those things. That's grace. That's precious in the sight of the Lord. We died in the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We died on Calvary's cross. It was precious in the sight of God. And when God sends his Spirit, you who were once dead in your trespasses and sins, has he quickened together in Christ. In that glory, we thought we were alive, but we were dead. You know, that's really the problem with zombies, isn't it? They don't know they're dead. They're the walking dead. And that's what we were spiritually. We didn't know we were dead. Didn't know we were dead until we were made alive. And then we died. The law came and sin revived, and I died. And it was precious in the sight of the Lord. You see, just as in the natural world, death is necessary to bring forth life, so these deaths that we're looking at, the death of Christ in the covenant of grace as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the physical death of the Lord Jesus Christ bowing his head and saying, "It is finished," satisfying God's justice, shedding his precious blood. And the death that he brings to each one of us when he shows us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags and causes us to be ashamed for not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, resting our hope in something other than Christ. And then, and only then, do we have life. Fourthly, it is precious in the sight of the Lord as all of God's elect are renewed in faith day by day. Day by day. Aren't you glad? You know, we're just so, well, the flesh is strong, isn't it? You know, the flesh is hard to kill. It's hard to kill. The spiritual flesh that we live with, that flesh of pride and unbelief, it only God can kill it. And he does. Paul said, I die daily. Daily. God has to bring me every day to the end of myself. And only he can kill the flesh. The flesh is hard to die physically too. Yeah, we say, you know, to be with the Lord is great gain, and it is. To be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord, and to see him as he is, to be made like him. The believer in his heart rejoices and glories over that. But let me tell you something. When you get sick, you get ready to die, your body is going to hang on by its nails to every last breath that it can have. The flesh is hard to kill. Only the Lord can do it. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. All of God's elect are renewed in faith day by day and reckon themselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I know the self-righteous religionists love to talk about the cross that they're bearing as some sort of burden that they have in this life and in this world. That's not what the Lord was referring to. He was referring to dying daily. That's what it is to take up your cross. Everybody, people have some awful burdens to bear in this life. I don't doubt that. But when the Lord said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow after me, he's talking about dying to yourself on a daily basis. Reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Only, I've been thinking a lot these last few days about only God can change the heart. You know, only God can change the heart. We can change our behavior. We can change our attitudes. You know, we can even have influences on one another. But only God can change the heart. Only God can bring us to the end of ourselves. That's why prayer is so important. Lord, you're going to have to change me. You're going to have to call me. You're going to have to turn me, Lord. I won't be turned. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me at verse 7. But we have this treasure. What's he talking about? He's talking about that precious ointment, the oil of gladness, the Lord Jesus himself. He's the treasure. I am thine exceeding great reward. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the old man. That's the flesh. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Whatever happens of any spiritual value, God's going to have to do it. I can't do it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now that's sanctification. That's the work of the Spirit of God working in us, causing us to will and to do after his good pleasure. That's the conviction of sin, and that's the gift of faith that the Lord gives to his people every day. And it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. We died in the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We died on Calvary's cross. We died ourselves and our righteousness. When God's pleased to irresistibly bring us to himself, give us faith in Christ, and now to whom coming, we are continuing to die, aren't we? And the last point is the point that we often hear this verse quoted at funerals. I was talking to a brother the other day, and he said, yeah, I just did a funeral. I quoted that verse. And it's true. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When this body of death is put where it belongs. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He was talking about this old body of flesh that he's dragging around with him. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, we're free. We're delivered in life. In that we've been, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Reckon it to be so. Why? Because it is so. It is so. Oh, but sin's so real to us, isn't it? One day it won't be. One day we'll have no sin. The mortal will be made immortal. The corruptible will be made incorruptible. And it'll be precious in the eyes of the Lord when he says to each one of us, enter in to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. His kingdom's always been ready. Why? Because God's saints have always been dead. And yet they've always been alive. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make precious to us what is precious to you. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. 186. Let's stand together.
Is Jesus Christ her Lord? She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace and dude. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church may shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy,